Please join me in prayer. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. We sure do need him now. We sure do need him now. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. We need him every night and day. Amen. Be seated. I bring you blessings this morning. Good morning, Trinity Church. I bring greetings from my boss, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and I thank you all for welcoming me into this pulpit. More than that, I thank you for welcoming me home. I was baptized here in Boston at age 27, and I learned what it meant to live as a Christian through faith-based community organizing in Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, side by side with leaders from Trinity, leaders like William Barnwell and Fran Early and Julianne Morris Vidiver. Walking with them, I discovered Episcopalians unlike any I had ever known. 14 years ago, I traveled America to research the idea of radical welcome. And then I came home to Boston to write a book, and Trinity took me in as a consultant, invited me to test the concept during the interim period. I was ordained at the cathedral and served there for 7 years, but I was never far from Trinity. I performed the wedding of my buddy Julianne here. We baptized my godson Henry here. He's now in the choristers, being very professional. Good morning, Henry. Hey. 6 years ago, I wandered off to New York City, and now I'm wandering the world with our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. But you know, this feels like home. So thank you. Thank you for welcoming me yesterday and the session that we did with greeters and outreach and the liturgy team. If you were a part of that gathering, just raise your hand so that I know that I didn't chase you off. Good. Amen. And I knew that I was welcome, that I was home, really from the moment that I walked up Copley Square and saw you. So thank you. Thank you, Trinity, for the welcome. Now, speaking of welcome, I bid you welcome to Advent. Now, if you ask Starbucks and Macy's, this season does not exist, okay? They've been decked out in red and in sparkles and playing Christmas music since about Halloween. But for Christians, this season, it matters. It's a season of anticipation and intensity, white hot with judgment and a keen yearning for the coming Savior. Just look at today's gospel, friends. I mean, Luke is coming blazing out of the gate with a text that can be described with one word, apocalyptic. Say it with me. Apocalyptic. Now, scholars will tell you that an apocalyptic has two parts. Part one reads the signs of the times. It names how the power of evil has taken hold on the world. But then part two of the apocalyptic swings around, and it says that the coming tribulations are not the end. They're actually the birth pains, the prelude to truth and goodness. They are necessary to bring us to a place of humility and to remind us of the Holy One that we need most. I think Luke pretty much covered all those bases in the gospel. He warns that people will faint from fear and the heavens will be shaken. Now, my favorite modern translation is called The Message, and in it, Eugene Peterson renders this text with even more stark, vivid language. He says, it will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth and sea in an uproar. And everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom. The powers that be quaking. Now back when Jesus spoke those words, he probably got a lot of amens. People were nodding because they're like, yes, everything around us is collapsing. The empire is winning. Believers are willing to compromise everything just to get ahead. Is this the way it's going to end? And then Jesus, our wily Savior Jesus, says, oh no. He makes the apocalyptic turn. He tells them, after you see the signs and the terrors, after the forces of destruction seem to eat away everything you held dear, do not go numb. Do not give in to hopelessness. Do not hate as others hate, and do not let the bitterness swamp you. Because, and here I'm reading again from the message, then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style. What a glorious welcome. When all this starts, up on your feet. Stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way. Advent is all about our yearning for that help. Advent is all about vulnerability and hoping against hope. Week after week, we are going to hear texts that take us to the gates of hell and remind us how desperately we need Emmanuel, God with us, to come and make all things new. Week after week, we will sing together, oh come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. We open to that yearning in Advent. We cry out, oh come, and we look for Jesus because we know that we have officially reached the end of our human capacity. We need God to come and inhabit this world again. We need God to come and inhabit us again with a power stronger than death. And I know this is seriously countercultural stuff. Who wants to be the irrational one claiming that in Christ, God has already touched and reconciled and redeemed this crazy, cruel world? Who wants to proclaim that we're waiting and hoping and counting on God? But you know what? People actually want to hear that word. My generation and those who have come after us, we are the first in this country to come up without much of a sense of God's presence. And so we feel the chaos, the loss, the fear. We know part one of the apocalyptic narrative. We long to hear about part two, the hope, the power, the love that we find in God alone. I know people everywhere are hoping for it because I saw the response when they heard it. This May, in the midst of division and meanness that's taken over our nation, our world, our presiding bishop preached on the power of God and the way of love at that royal wedding. And the word resonated further than any of us imagined. And it's not just because of his preaching prowess. It's because people want to join up with this God who is loving and liberating and life-giving. People want to hear and to taste and to live that hope for themselves. And don't you dare worry that if you speak of this hope, you will sound like you're engaged in groundless magical thinking. Y'all, this is prophetic, biblical living. It's the spirituals that carried my ancestors through every misery imaginable. Heads high, backs unbroken, spirits true. They sang and sang, keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on. And they knew, I'm gonna eat at the welcome table one of these days. Our ancestors were not crazy. In God, they held on to hope. And here we are today, the fulfillment of their prayers. It's not wishful thinking. It's kingdom dreaming. I think of Ernest, a young man that I knew when I lived here in Boston, a survivor of the Rwandan genocide. Most of his family was slaughtered. He managed to escape and miraculously found refuge in America at a time when we still welcomed refugees. Ernest got connected with a local church and with community organizers, all of whom believed in him and saw God in him. And he founded a Rwandan healing center for other shattered survivors. I think of the countless gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered folk who have stayed in churches that for so long ostracized them, hated them, and they kept believing. They kept hoping. They knew that a new world could be born. And then when I got to share the awesome privilege of presiding at the marriages of two same-gender couples this summer with the full support of our church, I swear, y'all, it was like watching the new world, the world God dreamt, coming through, breaking through. And yes, I think of Jesus. I think of that poor, tiny baby in Nazareth, a baby who grew into a boy, who grew into a man who shone the light of God into every deep valley and crevice. There are so many extraordinary and ordinary signs that God has not abandoned the scene. That the power that turns all things toward wholeness is still pulsing in this world. So yes, part one of the apocalyptic is all around. Yes, in the last few days, children were tear-gassed at the U.S.-Mexico border. Lift up your heads. There is still a part two. And yes, mass shootings happen so often now that we can barely keep count. So stand up anyway, because there is still a part two. Trinity Church, reach for God. Get real about how desperately we need God. This Advent, put your whole heart into singing, oh come Emmanuel. Sing it like you never have before. And then trust that he's coming. Trust that he's here. Amen.